Leaving and cleaving. In other words, guys, ladies and gentlemen, just because you have a problem, doesn't mean you can run to mom and dad. Take care of it within your relationship between husband and wife. I'm not saying to ignore mom and dad. Treat them with respect. However, the problem between the husband and wife should remain between husband and wife. Third aspect is, it's a permanent union. What does that mean? God's love for the marriage does not acknowledge trial marriage or living together, see how it works out. First of all, living together, having sex before marriage is a sin itself, and there's no such a thing as a trial marriage. If it doesn't work, we'll bail out. Divorce cannot be an option for a Christian. Should not be in your even thought. If you have that in your heart, guess what? You will use it. I can pretty much guarantee it. How many of you guys heard the prenuptial agreement? You know, a lot of rich people have signed this dotted line. What they're saying is, whatever I brought into this marriage and whatever I earn, I'll take it when I leave. If somebody is asked, the spouse, sign here with a prenuptial agreement, what they're thinking is, I'm going to leave you someday, but I'm going to pack up my own things. So they're coming into marriage with a divorce in mind. No wonder why their marriage don't last. Once we say, I do, that means I do. Until death do us part. Fourth aspect of marriage is the reunion between one man and one woman. You guys know what I'm going to say. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's not a group marriage, it's not gay marriage. One man, one woman. Anyone who condone or encourage that kind of marriage, that such as group marriage or gay marriage, will face severe condemnation from God on the day of judgment. I don't care what they are, what denomination they are. The word of God is true, will last forever. Let all men be liars. I ask you on the line, therefore, that God, what God has joined together, let not man separate. People in general, ladies and gentlemen, whether they are Christian or non-Christian, they don't take this thing very seriously. As I said, when they say I do means should be I do, not maybe. Depends on how I feel. Depends on how, if she burned the toast or not. That has nothing to do with this. Somebody might say, I don't love that man anymore. Well, tough. Love him. That's when the commitment kicks in. Let's go on to the verse 7 of chapter 19 in Matthew. They said to him, why then did Moses, underline, command, please, to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? He said to them, Jesus speaking, Moses, because the hardness of your heart permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for the sexual immorality, underline sexual immorality, please, and marries another, commit adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced, commit adultery. Jesus pointed out that Moses never told them, command them to divorce their wives according to Deuteronomy chapter 24. What he's saying is that he is giving them allowance. There's a difference between commandment and allowance, giving them permission. Why does this kind of thing happen? Divorce is not never been mentioned at the beginning of the marriage. But because of the hardened heart. What kind of hardened heart? Here's a guy named Charlie and a lady named Susie. I hope nobody's named Susie here. no offense to anyone. Charlie is ticked, and he, let's say he had an affair, adultery. And he wants to leave. His heart is hardened. So he's the one offending party to the wife and saying, I'm leaving you. I don't care what the God's word says, I'm leaving you. Because his heart's hardened, that's why divorce happened. Let's say Charlie had adultery, but he repented, he wanted to come back and stay with Susie. Now, the Susie is thinking, I cannot live with a man who has a sexual relationship with other than myself. I cannot live with that person. It's make my skin crawl, whatever the lady would say. Then her heart hardened. Is it wrong for her to do it? No. That's where the God's allowance comes in. She is allowed to, she is permitted to divorce him, Charlie. What about the people who forgive the offending party and go on in the marriage? A lot of people do that. And they overcome the difference, overcome the difficulty, and their marriage flourishes, as a matter of fact. If they can overcome that problem, they will do it. And I've seen a lot of people who do that. And a friend of mine whose wife took off, and she came back, and they are remarried, and they're doing very well. So what are the exceptions Jesus mentioned? He said sexual immorality. This has one word in Greek word, porneia. P-O-R-N-E-I-A. Porneia. Porneia, we get the word pornography from this word. Has a very broad definition. To understand that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, wife is not depart from, not to depart from the husband. But even if she does depart, let her, underline this phrase please, even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. I'll visit that thing later. And husband is not to divorce his wife. Verse 12. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say that if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And the woman who has a husband who does not believe, and if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, their children would be unclean. But now they are holy. Verse 15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, a wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? What kinds of things falling in the category of adultery, sexual immorality? As I said, adultery, what that mean? Sexual relationship outside of marriage. Fornication. Sexual relationship before marriage. It doesn't matter how old you are. I got an email from somebody when I was a web servant handling all the internet things for the Calvary Tucson when I was there. Somebody said, I'm having sex with my girlfriend. We are over 40. Isn't that okay? What the? Duh. Then what? I didn't tell him that, but that he thought that it's only for the teenagers. There's no place in the Bible there's an age limit. Any sexual relationship before the marriage is a fornication, it is a sin. Third category, homosexuality, bestiality, any kinds of prostitution are wrong. That's the sexual immorality. Fourth category is husbands who get into pornography. Listen to me, please. Husbands who get into pornography time after time without repentance. Now, God is allowing the wife to be permitted to divorce that man. Why do I say that? Because in God's eyes, that man already committed adultery in his sight, in his mind. According to Sermon on the Mount, that man already committed adultery. Before the internet, the pastors had to look around before he walked into the adult bookstore. Now, behind the closed door, pastor can visit any porno website with two clicks. It is mind-boggling for people to know how they get ensnared into that web, that net, and they get trapped. If you are visiting that kind of porno website, please stop. If you can handle it, put some kind of secure device in a web browser. Have your wife to put the password so you cannot get into it. Do something. You might say, I can handle it. No, you cannot handle it. Sexual drive is addiction. 13% of women who visit the internet frequently end up in the porno site too. So ladies, you are not an exception either. Alright, there's a different category, people. In verse 15, we find non-believers. If there's a non-believer who spouse, husband or wife, wants to leave the believing husband or wife, let them go. If they choose to leave, you cannot make them to leave. If they choose to leave, let them go. You are not obligated. Sixth category. Now, this is a very touchy subject, but listen carefully, please. Let's say there is a believing husband, again, Charlie, since we've been picking on him. Charlie is a believer, and he said, Susie, I'm leaving. I'm not going to tell you why, but I'm leaving. I don't care about this marriage. I don't love you. I'm leaving this marriage. See ya. Before you pick up the stone and stone me, because you might think that I'm about to speak the heresy, listen carefully, please. You can consider him as a non-believer. Why? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy is right after 2 Thessalonians, right before 2 Timothy. Duh, right? Chapter 5, verse 8. Apostle Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, underline, denied the faith, please. And is worse than unbelievers. If you have a King James Version, you will see it as infidel. What he's saying is, if the person, husband or wife, leaving the spouse and discarding the provision for that person and the family, he is worse than the unbeliever. Not only that, I ask you on the line, deny the faith. When you look at that word deny, in Greek word, it means denounce. In other words, he's denouncing, he or she is denouncing the faith in God. He's literally walking away from God. So you can consider him as an unbeliever. In light of the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, and the 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, any believers who is leaving their spouse for whatever the reason, we can consider him as an unbeliever. What about this question? I heard this before. And probably I have to hear more. What about the husband who is beating wife? This is a very tender subject. Is there any biblical ground for their wife to divorce him. Listen carefully, please. No. For the safety of the lady, the wife, you may separate from that man. But you do not have biblical ground. Isn't that awful? Well, you can do something different. You can pick up the baseball bat and bash his head. No, don't do that. Am I being recorded, right? I'm in trouble. You cannot divorce the man. Just put that aside. If any of you beating your wife, listen carefully, please. You are not a man. You're not a real man. If you're beating your wife, I will call you coward, worse, wimp, without an apology. The reason why you beat the woman is because you know that she cannot hit you back physically. So if you're looking for a sparring partner, come see me. I'll take you on. That's something I cannot stand. My blood boils. Don't ever touch a woman in that way. We are supposed to treat our wives as a precious vessel, according to the Word of God. Now then you're going to think that, oh, pastor wants to fight. Yeah. You want a sparring partner? I'll give you a sparring partner. Let's go to verse 14 of Malachi. Chapter 2 of Malachi. Malachi is right before Matthew. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. Let's see what God says about divorce. Yet you said, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by the covenant. But did he not make them one, having the remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks a godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel has said that he hates divorce. Underline, he hates divorce. In Hebrew word, it despise. It's a very, very strong verb. Hate divorce, and for it covers one's garment with violence. And say the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Surrendering is not an option if you choose to win war and if you choose to make the marriage success. You have to stay at it. I have to stay at it. San Francisco attorney, I don't know who that is, but he said that there's two processes that never should be done prematurely. What are they? Embalming and divorce. I believe a divorce is a lot more traumatic than the death. Because for death, it's over. There's a closure. For divorce, it's never closed. It's always open. Always there's wounds still remain. When the divorce happened between husband and wife, it become nasty and messy and bitter conflict between them. There's no such a thing as a clean divorce. Rare. Very, very rare. But still, there's bitterness in their heart. Why? Because you're talking about betrayal from the closest friend. And they also, why become the messy and bitter? Because they know which button to push. They know how to irritate each other. My mother, she's not a very educated woman. However, she's very wise. She said, when you have a good relationship with your husband, with your wife, she's the best friend you will ever have. Well, when she becomes your enemy, she's the worst one you will ever face. How true. Somehow we think divorce is easier to do. Just bail out. Get out. Somehow we have that stupid mentality that the grass on the other side is greener. Yeah, it's greener around the septic tank. Is that what we're looking for? Divorce is not easy. It affects many people's lives. Alright, so you might have some motivation about this whole teaching. And you might come up with a few excuses. I don't love that man. I don't love that woman anymore. What does the Word of God say? Love our neighbors. That's including our spouse. As you love yourself. And 1 Peter and Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3, we find love one another as He has loved us. That's a commandment, guys. So if you say, I don't love my husband, I don't love my wife anymore, you are sinning against God. So try harder. Your love may come and go, but your commitment must stay. Second excuse. That person irritates me. My husband irritates me. My wife irritates me. Have you ever thought that you might be the one irritating the other person too? Or you might even come up with a verse like a Proverbs 21:9 says, it's better to live in the housetop than living with a contentious woman. That doesn't support your argument. Third excuse. We started our relationship wrong. This is a prevalent excuse I hear. As a matter of fact, I counseled one lady. She said, we start our relationship with adultery. So it is wrong, so I have to divorce him. No, listen to me, please. It does not matter whatever relationship you had, how it started, even though it might be based on adultery. If you are married, God honors the marriage you are in now. Stay at it. Make the marriage better. As long as you're a wife of somebody, as long as you're a husband of somebody, you must stay. Unless the other person does something against the Word of God. Before we started this session, I asked the guy, people who came here early, pray for me. Because I'm going to step on somebody's toe. And they said, so what else is new? Listen carefully, please. Marriage is not finding somebody who is perfect for you. Okay? Marriage is a becoming perfect one for that person. That's how it works. Alright, you might say, alright, I started the wrong way. This is not what the God wants, but I'm married. Now what am I supposed to do? As I said before, stay. And make the marriage good and bring glory to Him. And this is something I need to speak very tenderly. There are people, there are victims of divorce. Husband or wife literally left them high and dry, and you become a victim of that divorce. And more than not, I see the church is treating them as a second-class citizen. On behalf of church, I apologize. You are welcome here in this fellowship. We will not treat you bad. You've been victimized. You don't need to be victimized again. You're welcome here. Let's go on to the verse 10. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it's better not to marry. And he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those whom it has been given. There are the eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are the eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there were eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. What Jesus is saying is, some people were born with no sexual drive, so they are they don't want to get married. And some people castrated because this is happening in the old time. And some people are in charge of the king's harem, and then they castrate them so they don't have a sexual drive. And the third group of people is the one who has the gift of celibacy. Those who don't have any desire to get married for the sake of kingdom, they can do that. This cannot be done by somebody's regulation or denomination's regulation or rules. This has to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go into the verse 13. Then the little children were brought to him that they might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hand on them and departed from there. This is fitting for the right after the teaching of the marriage and divorce. It is right for Jesus to bless the children. Ladies and gentlemen, children are not, as you know, they are heritage, gift of the heritage from God. They are not a curse, they are not a burden. Alright, let's make a few applications. Number one, instead of thinking that divorce is better than living in marriage, look for a way to improve your marriage. How can you improve your marriage? There's only one way, from the Word of God. So get into the Word of God to learn from the Word of God to improve your marriage. Don't come up with an excuse, "I don't love that man" or "I don't love that woman." That's not acceptable in God's sight. So stop that excuse. Second thing, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, if you divorce, okay, not you are divorced, this is your action, you are to remain single. Remember we just read that? You have to remain single, or you go back to that spouse and reestablish the marriage. What if that person is married? Then you can go on with your life. You have a God's blessing. So you have to wait and stay pure. That means you cannot go out with the man or woman, or you cannot even do anything, even physical contact. You have to stay pure. I know this is not a popular teaching, but I'm giving you what the Word of God says. You don't like it? Guess what? Tough. Do it as the Word of God says. If you love God, you set yourself as a Christian, and then you better do what God says. It overrides your desire, my desire. Third thing, if you're single after the divorce, you're divorced. Wait, please. Do not jump into the relationship. I've seen one too many people jumping into relationship, they end up regretting. Wait upon God, He will bring the right person to you. Alright? Fourth, before we judge others' marital problem, let's check ours. We cannot judge until we judge ours. And let's be sensitive to those who are victimized with the divorce. Let's stand up and pray. Thank you for listening attentively. This is a very difficult subject. It must be done. It is important for us to do what the Word of God says. I'm not condemning you. If you're divorced and you went through these things and you need prayer, please come on down. We are not condemning you. Past is the past. Let's look for the future. Elders and deacons, come down. Come on down, please.